Psalm 34 from the King James, it says what? I will bless the Lord sometimes, all the time, all time, at all times. His praise shall continually be where? In my mouth, not just in my thinking. Not just sure be nice to praise the Lord, but this says here where? It's in our mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Hallelujah. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Hallelujah. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed, highly favored, fortunate is who? The man that trusteth in him. Hallelujah. Trust who? In the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. You know, we were sharing some thoughts from Sunday about something that, well, let's turn over to Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4:6. And it says, be careful for nothing, or don't be anxious for nothing. Some translations say don't take a care, or don't worry about one thing, some translations say. But it says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So this is saying here our requests should include what? Prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. So that means if there's no thanksgiving with it, then it's really an incomplete request. Right? There ought to be thanks. Thank you for hearing me. Thank you for answering it. Thank you. And what? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and what? And if there be any praise, think on these things. So when it talks about praise, we're not praising something. He's saying here, if there's any virtue, any praise, think on these things that I just got done telling you. So your thanksgiving and praise ought to be focused on these things, right? Things that are of what? Things that are true. Things that are honest. Things that are just. Things that are what? Are pure and lovely and of a good report. That's where your praise should focus on. That's what he's saying right here. And, you know, we brought out what Rick Renner was sharing from his insight into the Greek language and just talking about the word thanksgiving. He said it was a compound of two different words. And he said this compound word describes an outpouring of grace and of wonderful feelings that freely flow from the heart in response to someone or something. So he said, by using this word, thanksgiving, Paul teaches us that when we earnestly ask God to do something special for us, we must match it with an earnest outpouring of thanks. Although the request has only just been made and the manifestation isn't evident yet, it is appropriate to thank God for doing what we have requested. Thanking Him in advance demonstrates faith. So giving Him thanks demonstrates faith. Hallelujah. Now let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57. When we talk about thanksgiving for something in advance, 1 Corinthians 15 fits right in here. 1 Corinthians 15 and really want to look at verse 57, but if you look at the context of this, verse 57, it says, but thanks be to God, which does what? Giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But when you look at the context of this whole, when he's saying this, if you back up far enough, he's saying, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed for this what? This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. And it goes on, says, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be unto God, who what? Giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So in the context here, he's thanking him for something that he doesn't have yet. He's giving him thanks for the victory of here, when he's talking about here, when the dead in Christ shall be risen, right? And those which are alive shall be caught up. But some of the other modern translations, it says, but the basic translation said, but praise be to God who gives us strength to overcome through our Lord Jesus Christ. What does he do? He gives us strength to overcome. Through what? Through our praise. Our praise activates the Holy Ghost, activates the power of God within us. The Amplified says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory, making us conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So something, you know, it's a thought here. Turn over to Psalm 78. Is it possible to increase our capacity to receive from God, would you think?
Yes.
Yeah. Is it possible to limit God in increasing our capacity?
Yes.
Absolutely. That's a good class here. So we can increase the capacity and enlarge how we receive from the Lord by cultivating a lifestyle of thanksgiving. So Psalm 78, let me turn over there. Psalm 78, and if you go through, we're not going to go through this, but really from the beginning, he's talking about the Israelites and just talking about the whole thing that happened, how they, you know, just played the fool here. They were doing stuff that they shouldn't have been doing, right? Just really gave a history of how God responded to them, how they came through the Red Sea and how they, you know, wandered in the wilderness and so forth. But look at verse 40. And look at verse 40 and 41. Well, actually, you could back up a little bit. It says, "For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But God being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away, did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again." Look at verse 40. "How oft did they do what? Provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert. Yea, they turned back and tempted God, and what did they do? And limited the Holy One of Israel." So right here you can see that there's no limit with God. We're the ones that limit God in what we do or say and how we conduct ourselves. We can limit God just like they did. You know, maybe not the same history or story, but we can limit God. And so the point is that when it comes to enlarging or increasing our capacity to receive from God, then it's something to keep in mind that one of the things that's going to please God is what? Faith. Amen. And pleasing God is listening to his word or receiving his word and doing what? Thanking him that it's so. If he said you're healed, yes, then it's say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that I am healed. If he says, you know, that I'll supply all your need according to his riches and glory, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Just thank you. See, sometimes we thank, that thank you has to be inserted there ahead of seeing it. That's right. That's right. Or experiencing it. We have to thank him for something he said he either did or would do. God does not lie. He doesn't change. So regardless of what I'm walking through and experiencing, I got to cap it all off with a big thank you. Amen. I've got to say, thank you, Lord. You said it. That means you're doing it. Amen. And my thank you, if from the heart and in faith, releases the power of God in my behalf to work something out in my behalf. Amen. See? And so we can see here how they limited God. So you could say it another way, we become the limiting factor, not God. God doesn't limit. He'll let you go as far as you want to go with him. Yes. Know him as deep and as you want to know him. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Familiar scripture. It says, in the King James Version, it says, "Now what? Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Hallelujah. The New International Version says, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. Did you know you have a fragrance? Yes. Yes. Not your perfume or lack thereof. That's a perfume too. But the fragrance is the fragrance of Christ. So we bring his fragrance into the room, don't we? And that fragrance is what? He always, but thanks be unto God who does what? Leads us in a triumphant procession. Or it says here, he causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. So isn't it interesting when you look at 1 Corinthians 15:57, it says, thanks be to God. That verse starts with it, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians, what does it say? Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. So isn't it interesting? We can see in these verses, you can see victory, triumph, and what is it tied to? Thanks. Thanksgiving. So there's a connection there. So we can see that there's a connection between thanks and victory. You know, when you think about it, God does some things in an unusual way, right? He said, go out to battle, put the singers out first. So there's some things that we don't understand, the significance of thanks and praise where God's concerned. And so you certainly, if I told you to go stand out in front and you saw something coming at you, an army with some grisly looking folks, you'd be like, I just don't feel led to do that. I don't have an unction to do it. You get real spiritual on us. I ain't feeling that. Right? But if God said it, then he knows something that we don't know. Right? And so I think that where praise and thanksgiving is concerned, it releases the power of God. It releases God to start working in a situation that we can't handle. We can't control. We have no ability to change something, but the power of God is released when I start to praise him, when I start to give him thanks. Just like that train. But sometimes folks are reserving their praise and thanks until they see something. They're waiting to see it and they go, thanks! Well, He's saying here that we're to offer up thanks, we're offer up prayers and supplications with thanksgiving. So it's going to take faith to give him thanks when things are telling you in the natural, everything's not going to work. Things aren't going to work. It's not working. You're going to have to release faith. You're going to have to release faith through your thanksgiving. Always remember, your words is your faith speaking. You know, we start going back to faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So faith is going to have to express some things that it doesn't see. It's going to have to release a thanksgiving. It's going to have to release some words for things I don't see yet that God promised. And I certainly don't understand how he's going to make all this work, but he said he would. And it's his covenant promise to me, sealed in the blood of Jesus. So I have his word on it that if I just hold steady and I just continue to thank him, that sooner or later, it's going to work out. It's going to work out. It's going to come to pass. So, if he says, just as he said, if he said you're healed, then you need to thank him. I think sometimes we're dictating how it's supposed to come to pass. And that's where we get off. And we don't get sometimes, we're not listening to the direction of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that will lead and guide you. He will show you where to go and what to do. You just need to thank God that I'm healed. How it works out is up to the Holy Ghost to lead us. Because everyone is different. Every circumstance is different. But some folks are saying, well, bless God, I'm not taking medicine. You're not God. You're not God. You don't know everything. Now, if he led you to do that, then go ahead and do that. But if he didn't, don't get over into foolishness and do things that can cause hurt and harm. You're not God. And I'm certainly not telling anybody to not do something or to do something, but the key is you need to just thank God. If he said you're healed, by his stripes ye were healed, then that means I am healed. And he sees me that way. He sees me no different. And I ought to just thank him for that. Thank you, Lord. If he says that he supplies all my need, then I'm going to thank him for that. That means I have no lack. If I'm bringing my tithe into the storehouse, he said, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you can hardly contain, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. So that means he's rebuked. And that means you need to say so. You need to enforce what God has said. Satan, take your hands off my money. Back up and kick him out. With what? Your words. Jesus did it. When the devil tried to tempt him, he said, it is written. And that's what we need to do. Let's turn over to Psalm 33. See, sometimes it takes a choice, just like when it said in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. You know, sometimes we read that and say, okay, what is all times? All times means I will bless the Lord at all times when I don't have money to pay something. I'm going to bless him at that time. I'm going to bless him when my body doesn't feel good. I'm going to bless him at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 33 and verse 1, it says, rejoice in the Lord, who, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for who? The upright. The New International says, it is fitting or suitable for the upright to praise him. The Amplifier, the Basic said, for praise is beautiful for the upright. So praise affects our countenance. Praise affects our countenance. The Amplified says, rejoice in the Lord, O ye uncompromisingly righteous, you upright in right standing with God, for praise is becoming and appropriate for those who are upright in heart. So in other words, if you could say praise would be boasting or bragging. I'm boasting on God. I'm praising Him. I'm bragging on God. Hallelujah. So you can't stay in faith and be complaining. You can't, because really complaining is the fruit of really fear when you think about it. When you think about that, you know, fear comes and you just start to complain about something. So really, faith and fear, we know they don't work together, right? Fear is going to affect your faith. So a lot of times somebody look at something, get in fear, and then the next thing you know, they're complaining about what they're walking through. And you need to stir yourself up, and I will bless the Lord. I'm going to bless Him at all times. So fear starts to do what? Focus on the need, focus on the lack, focus on the disease or sickness. Unbelief does what? It focuses on the problem. And faith focuses on what? On God. Faith does what? Magnifies God. It praises God. It magnifies God. And faith does what? Expects a change. Faith expects a change. So when I thank God, I'm thanking Him for the change. I'm thanking Him, saying, thank you, Lord, it's changing. Thank you, Lord, you're working. You know, that's why I say, I don't really want to, I'm just making a try. I don't want to listen to all of the garbage that's going on in the country. I really don't want to listen to it because I don't care. This isn't about politics. This is about the devil trying to stir up mess and problems in our country. And it'd be no different if you had mess in your home. Would you just sit back and just say, no, you'd get up and say, stop. You'd begin to praise the Lord. You'd begin to do something. You'd begin to pray until you did what? Saw a change. And that's where I am. I'm saying, look, the devil wants to get people so... When you think about this, the devil's tactic is to get the church so focused on the natural that they don't realize that their prayers and their unity together in prayer can shift something and change our country and change things. But he wants us to get focused on the natural things and to grumble and complain about what's going on. And we need to just wise up sometimes and say, no, I'm not gonna focus on that. I'm gonna focus on how great our God is. I'm gonna focus on I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. I've been given the use of His name. I've been seated far above principalities and powers and might and every dominion and every name that's named. I'm seated above it. And they're the ones that are trying to make the mess. And I'm seated above it. So I don't need to be joining in with my mouth. I need to be thanking God. Doing what? Boasting on God. Boasting in Him. Hallelujah. So the number one, as we were saying before, the way we release faith is through our words. Well, when we thank God, we're using words. We thank Him. That's faith being released. You know, there was something, I always keep this because it was given by one of our dear sisters here. I see her every now and then now. Sister Gladys Brooks. But she gave this word. I was up at the village when she gave this. This was in, I wrote it down, January 2nd in 2012. So that's almost 7 years ago. But she gave this word. We were sitting in the chapel. And just after praise and worship, she said this: don't nurse it, don't rehearse it, disperse it, and I'll reverse it. And that was such a powerful word. Don't nurse it. Don't rehearse it. Disperse it, and I will reverse it. Man, the Holy Ghost is something. So that word, you know, when you just looked up, because I do sometimes, I said, okay, let's look at that. When you nurse something, you hold it in your memory for or consideration. You nurse it. When you rehearse it, it said, don't rehearse it. That means you say it again. You repeat it. You keep repeating it. So don't nurse something. Don't rehearse it. Disperse it. That means to cause to evaporate or vanish. Who's doing that? We're going to get in and use the authority that we have to disperse something. And God said, when you do that, I'll reverse it. So again, our words are key here. Don't nurse something. Don't rehearse it. Don't keep thinking on it. Don't keep talking about it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know, you know, so-and-so. Don't rehearse it. That's what we got then. If there's anything that you're going to do, what does it say? If there's any, in Philippians, if any praise, think on these things. If there's any virtue, any praise, think on these things. That's what you, if you want to say, if I'm going to nurse anything, if I'm going to rehearse anything, I'm going to nurse and rehearse the Word of God. Amen. That's what I'm doing. I'm going to nurse it and rehearse it till it gets down in my heart. So that when things come, you know, I shared with you one of my things that I've been doing all year this year, pretty much all year, is I read at least twice a day when I get up and before I close my eyes, I'm reading 1 Corinthians 13. And I'm doing it. And I just said, no, I'm going to do that until... And I remember Pastor Yoder when we were up this summer in Lancaster. He said he listened to something. You know, he was the dean at Rhema College for a few years. And he said, you know, I was just not satisfied in a particular area of my life. I wasn't satisfied. I wanted to grow in this area. And he said, I kept listening to a message over and over. He said, I listened to that message over 100 times over a period of a few years. And he said, and I got so sick and tired of listening to it. That's the way he said it. I got so sick and tired of listening to it. He said, I knew that I still hadn't gotten it. And I think sometimes that's we just stop too soon. We need to just pursue. And we get tired of doing something. That's the time you need to keep at it. Because you don't have it yet. And just keep reading the Word. The Word has within it the power to change something. Mainly change you. Change me. It does what? It'll renew. Transform my mind and my thinking. So when I begin to thank God and I thank Him for something, it puts Him, you open the door for Him. When I begin to thank you, just think about this. How would you like it if you came to me and said, I'm going to do something for you, and you had your heart in it. You just thought this was the greatest thing. I'm going to bless you with this. And you just go, and you don't say, thanks. You don't say, thank you. How would that make you feel? It make you, as they say, feel some kind of way. I mean, you just went out of your way. You meditated. You thought about it. And you just said, man, I'm going to do something really special for them. And they don't even say. And it's kind of like. And you don't even get a thank you. Really? I mean, that's just in the natural. How do you think God? God is what? He is pursuing us. He is what? Full of compassion. And you don't even say thank you to his word when he says, I've healed you. I've redeemed you. I've delivered you. I've set you free. And we don't get happy and rejoice over that. We don't even say thank you. And we talk about the problem like it's greater than what he did. That's what I'm talking about. That our thanks ought to just be so full of gratefulness and thankfulness to God for what he did. Right? I mean, just some of the things we think about. I mean, well, anyways, you know, you get my point. Let's look at Psalm 57. Psalm 57. And verse 7. I don't know if they make these pages just thin or they stick together. I'm not sure. Verse 7 in Psalm 57. It said, my heart is what? Fixed. O God, my heart is fixed. I will what? I will sing and give praise. Hallelujah. I will sing and give praise. Let's flip over a few verses, chapters. Let's go to Psalm 63. Psalm 63 and what? Verse 3. What does it say? Because thy what? Thy loving kindness is what? Better than life. Yes. My lips shall do what? Praise thee. So his loving kindness is better than life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's look at Psalm 69. Psalm 69 and verse 30. And then you can look at verse 34. But verse 30, it says, I will praise what? The name of God with a song and will do what? Magnify him with what? Thanksgiving. You know, when we magnify someone, We're doing what? We're exalting, we're lifting up, we're promoting, we're increasing, you could say, right? We're promoting. So I'm lifting him up, I'm magnifying him how? With thanksgiving, with my thanksgiving. And we saw from the scriptures, he inhabits the praises of his people. Let's go over to Psalm 71. Psalm 71 and verse 8. Psalm 71, verse 8 says, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor. How? All the day. And verse 14, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And let's go over to Psalm 100, of course. Can't verse 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and do what? Bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. It'd just be a good habit to get up in the morning and just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercies being new every morning. Thank you for your name. Thank you that I'm engrafted into your Son. Thank you, Father, that I'm part of the body of Christ. Thank you for working in me today. Thank you for your peace. And just, you know, sometimes, you know, you don't realize how much your thoughts, you know, what you think on and what you meditate on first thing in the day affects you the rest of the day and can affect your direction for the day. You know, sometimes we find that people that, you know, you go on your job, people are all wired up because they're doing what? Thinking on the wrong things. And sometimes when we come in, they say, why are you so joyful? Why are you so happy? Why do you always have a smile on your face? You see? And so that countenance is a reflection of what's in your heart and what you're thinking on. So sometimes, you know, when we find ourselves getting over thinking about things that are negative or fearful or what's going to happen or what, we need to go back to these foundational scriptures and begin to thank God for the things that he's given us, the things that he's done for us and in us through Christ Jesus. It's already done. And we need to just thank him for that. And begin to thank him and have a grateful heart. And begin to just thank him, right? Well, I'm going to pick up again Sunday, I think. Because there's more to you know, I find that for me, and I don't know about you, but when your flesh doesn't want to do something, right away, I'm like, No. We're just going to go right ahead because I choose, not my flesh. I can side in with it, but I can also say, thank God, praise God. I thank you today. Thank you for working in me, operating in me. Thank you for thinking through me. Thank you for you working in a way that your plans are being accomplished. And so, let's not meditate upon the negative. So easy to meditate upon the negative, but it takes a decision to keep thinking on the word. Yes. Keep thinking on it. I find one good way to do that is I'm, you know, been prompted lately just when I'm home, keep certain things off. Just put in scripture tapes. Things that edify and lift up. Just playing in the house. And I know that may not be something that maybe you can do all the time, but I don't have anybody to tell me no. So for me, it's easy. I just turn it on. The only problem is that I'm the problem if I don't turn it on. I'm the one that's the problem, right? But I know Mrs. Hagen said this. She said they play music in their house 24/7. They have music playing. She said peaceful music is playing in their house all the time. Even when they're not in the house. When they're traveling, they have music playing in the house to create an atmosphere in the house. And I said, you know, there's some things to think about like that, you know. Maybe you don't want to have scripture playing, but you can certainly play some peaceful music. You can play something in your house that creates a nice atmosphere. And so, I mean, These are things that, you know, I mean, obviously that's their choice. That's something they do. But it made me think. I said, hey, why not? Keep music. People play all kinds of goofy stuff, right? Why not something that does what? Magnifies him and exalts him and lifts him up in the house, right? Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that you're a good God. And we boast of you and your goodness. We thank you, Father, that your word says we are to be a light, not a candle set under a bushel, but we're to be a light. We're to be a salt in this earth. And you want us to be a light, to be seen. So we thank you, Father, that one thing that can be seen is and heard is our boasting upon the goodness of God when we come in contact with people, that our countenance would reflect your goodness, that our speech and our thoughts would reflect the goodness of God. Regardless of what we're going through, Father, we thank you. And we give you glory, we give you honor and praise, for you are a good God. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God, praise God. You know, as we go about, you know, in various settings that we're in, you know, it's just interesting, and I know you experience these things, but people that get to know you in places that you go, places that you shop, places that you may eat, places where you may go, people begin to recognize you and they watch you. And they begin to say little things that reflect what they see. They do. And they'll say things like, why are you always so happy? Why you always have a smile? Or you're just really a nice person. They don't know anything about you. But that's where when it says we bring the fragrance of Christ with us. So you know how they do. There's something different about you. That's not your perfume. That's the fragrance of Christ that you bring. And that's the time we can then do what? Boast on the Lord. Tell people how good he is. Yes. And that it's good to serve him. Didn't mean we're going to, you know, not have trials and things go on in life. But he said that we triumph through Christ. And so we can give him praise and thanksgiving. You know, I think sometimes people think that we're in heaven. You know, I remember, who was it? Trying to remember the speaker that shared this. I think it was Ed Cole. And he said, sinners, he said, the earth is the only heaven a sinner will ever know. And he said, this earth is the only hell a saint will ever know. And I thought, well, there's some truth to that. So there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. But for sure, when it says this is the only hell a saint will ever know, the devil is here, and until he gets incarcerated, he is the god of this world. And so we're going to have to do what? Confront evil. We're going to have to confront things that are being, you know, pushed. And so we're going to have to just do what? We walk by faith. That's what the scripture says. So that's going to come with some opposition. But through the opposition, we're going to do what? Praise him and give him thanks.